sporting action at the weekend.
One goal to win the title, it's as simple as that.
Can you believe this?
Have you ever seen a try like that?
The Big Red Bench.
On Cork, good times.
Red FM.
Welcome along to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour, bring you all of the sporting action from around the Rebel County. We're going starting with football today, soccer that is, and Cork City just lost out 1-0 to Derry City in the FAI Cup last night in Turner's Cross. Our very own Rory O'Hagan was there for us and spoke to City boss Tim Clancy.
Tim, that was a cracking cup tie, but are you frustrated you didn't progress tonight?
Yeah, listen, we're first and foremost, I'm absolutely proud of every one of the players. I think the show tonight, the first division is a place where it's a difficult league to get out of. We've been exceptional this season and very, very consistent to get us in the position that we're in. But very few eyes are on the first division, and I think tonight the players maybe got a little bit of recognition for the season that they're having, and we should be trying the next round.
Conor Sullivan had the ball in the net. He was judged to have been offside. It looked very, very close.
I haven't seen that back, but I knew it was going to be tight. And again, you see Shawnee and you see Keats linking up, which is going to be a very, very exciting time here for fans to watch with Cahill as well. Malik, I thought, was excellent tonight. Greg and Sean in the middle were superb. And then you had the back four, which Michael Duffy's one of the best players this league's seen ever. And Derek Crowley was exceptional against him. And again, Evan against his hometown club was remarkable on the other side. And Pat Hubens, one of the best strikers this league's had as well. And the two centre-halves kept him very quiet as well. So we go away very proud. We go away with a lot of confidence, but we also go away very disappointed that we're not coming to quarterfinal.
Kieran Call as well makes a goal and clearance of the ages there as well. It's just a sensational clearance.
Yeah, it's just, and again, we're looking at Shawnee, who hasn't had a pre-season. He hasn't played a lot lately, and Keats is similar. Keats has had a little game time in the last couple of months, and you can see when the two of them are playing together, and Keats was outstanding. I thought he won everything in the air. He held the ball up, he got himself in really good positions, forced unbelievable saves from Brian Maher and Shawnee as well, getting into brilliant areas. So very excited for what lies ahead. But listen, we can take away a moral victory tonight, but that's not what this club look for. They look for wins and they look for progress in the cup, and that's why we're bitterly disappointed.
Big shout for a penalty in the second half and Malik went down. What was your view on that?
It's a penalty. I think David won as well on Mickey Duffy. I think it's a penalty, but our one's before theirs. It's a massive, massive moment in the game. Fort Official is saying it's a penalty. I think Mark is the only one on the ground who probably doesn't think it's a penalty. The kid's the wrong side of him. He's on goal. He's 6 yards out. And listen, we're a first division club. They're fighting the top end of the Premier Division, and you probably get to look at the rub of the green, I suppose, when you're in that position.
What was your view on the Derry goal?
It's a set piece. It's a brilliant delivery. Doherty and Patching had a very, very good delivery, and Sam Todd came on. He came on because we were causing him problems. And it's a brilliant delivery, and listen, when someone's 6'4" and aggressive and attacks the ball the way he does, it's difficult to defend.
Cove Rammer's now next week, so no chance there, I suppose. Resting your laurels, I suppose, now.
No, listen, again, it's another big game for us to bounce straight back into. We prepare now. The bodies will be sore over the weekend, but I hope that gives us belief now to go and play at a right good tempo again now in the first division, and it's a different challenge because we've been facing it all season where teams have sat in and said break us down, and I've spoken about how difficult that can be at times. Tonight showed when a team are expansive against us that we have the players in the lineup to cause opposition problems, and that's what we're looking at now more from the last 9 games of the season.
Thanks, Tim, appreciate it.
Cheers, thank you.
Great stuff from Tim there. And from one Rory to another, here's our very own O'Hagan speaking to Derry City boss Rory Higgins.
Rory, congratulations into the next round of the FA Cup. But you were made to work every inch of the way by Cork City tonight.
Absolutely. Hats off to Cork, to be honest. I thought they were outstanding for the whole game, really. They put us under pressure. Keaton and Maguire, by any standard, they're two of the best centre forwards in the country, and they cause us problems, and they've got a really good side here, Cork, and you can see them going from strength to strength, and a brilliant football club. But we won't be looking back on this, I don't think, talking about how wonderful our performance was, but we found a way, and relief is probably the right word. If you look at the first round against St Pat's, where we beat them 3-0, could have won more. We were outstanding in our play and our attacking play. But here we had to find a way to win, and ultimately that's what we've done. Did we deserve it? It doesn't really matter. We're in the next round, and it makes the trip up the road a bit easier.
Sam Todd got a cracking header, towering header.
Brilliant header. Sam has had a few difficult moments in his time here. In the first round of the cup, he was outstanding against Pats, and then he's produced the goods tonight, and he's shown incredible resilience and perseverance, and I'm delighted for Sam. It's a great delivery from Ben as well. It's got us into the next round.
And Kieran Call out a goal line clearance for the ages as well.
It's a one down there. Kieran's goal line clearance, Brian Maher's save. We were under pressure. But as I said, we'll be in the draw. But again, hats off to Cork and how they went about it. And we'll be meeting them a few times next season, and we look forward to it, because it's a huge, huge football club, an outstanding club, and it's better for the league one than in the Premier Division.
Tim Clancy reckons his side should have had a penalty for the foul, and Malik Dykstil also reckons that you guys should have a penalty for fouling Michael Duffy at the other end.
Aye, there's definitely arguments for both. But to be honest, I'll take none of them being given, because Dykstil had the first one.
Yeah. You're fighting in for both fronts now in the cup and the league, so it's nothing you're not too dissimilar with, but at the same time, it's I suppose it's exhausting, it's taxing on your team and your players.
Hey, listen, it's nothing comes easy, and football, or everyone will be at it. You have to put yourself out there, you have to put yourself on the line. This is an extremely difficult league. So hard to win matches in it, as we've seen. And you look at just looking at Drogheda, for example, who got a point in Tala last week, and the players that Drogheda are bringing off the bench are excellent League of Ireland players. So it shows a real spread around the league at the minute, and I think Cork will add to that. And I think it'll get more tough when Cork come up. They won matches in the league, but we're in a good position. We just need to keep plugging away and finding ways to win matches.
Another long trip next week as well, down to Waterford, to be sick of that road.
Aye, and then Galway the following week. We do a bit of travelling at our club, but it is what it is, and you have to embrace the challenge. Different venues, different clubs, different styles of play that you come up against, and it's all part of being in this industry. And listen, if we can pick up silverware in some capacity, we'll not complain too much about it.
And just finally, a minute's applause beforehand for a great Derry man, a great servant to the club, and just as I said in commentary, a pro Derry man.
He's iconic, really. What he's done in League of Ireland football, the greatest of all time. And he's what he done for Derry as a football club. 89, what he done. It's a serious achievement, and I got the fortunate enough to meet the man once or twice. Came across as really humble, lovely man, and I've got to meet a few of his family members over the years too, and lovely people, and the ones that I've met, and just from everyone connected to the football club, that we pass on our sincere condolences and sympathies to the family, and understand that the next period of time will be difficult for them. But he'll hold a special place in this club's heart for as long as it exists, really.
Congratulations. Good luck in the
cup. Thank you very much. Cheers.
We're going back to Cork City Talk in a second. West Ham United are back on level terms with Aston Villa in the late Premier League game of the day. Ryan Bromelow has the latest.
West Ham United 1, Aston Villa 1, and just like that, West Ham are level from the spot. Lucas Paqueta sends Emi Martinez the wrong way from 12 yards out. It's Socek who has fouled. Cash with a tangled leg that displaces the Czech Republican. It cancels out Amadou Inanna's early header, and a wave of promising Villa chances. It's a lifeline for the Hammers. West Ham United 1, Aston Villa 1.
Yeah, 1-1 there. Back to Cork City Talk earlier today, I caught up with football writer Dylan O'Connell, a man from Turner's Cross, to dissect City's loss in the cup last night, as well as talk about the season as a whole, including the introduction of Seanan Maguire and Rory Keating. We're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by journalist and, of course, author, as we heard a few weeks back, Dylan O'Connell. Dylan, how are we getting on first and foremost anyway?
Yeah, good. No, thank you very much. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Not at all. Cork City 0, Derry City 1. But, I mean, for the first time all year, it felt like Cork City really put in a decent performance. And I guess we finally got to see them up against a proper Premier Division side.
Yeah, and like, look, it was a good and bad loss in a way, because like, they're the kind of games they'll be playing next year in the Premier Division, and the goal next season is to stay up in the Premier Division. So last night was a good test for the team, because you have a few players signing the long-term deals. Rory Keating, Sean Murray and Sean Maguire, they'll all be here next season. So it's good to see the team actually get tested against that level of quality and see where it needs to be improved, where it doesn't need to be improved. But like, no, it was a bad loss, but to say because again, you want the city to go far in the cup. But at the same time though, like, their destiny is, and their goal for the season is getting promoted, and they're only a few games away from clinching promotion back to the League of Ireland Premier Division. So look, last night showed there's a good platform there for next season.
Yeah, and look, I know getting promoted was of course the overarching goal, but That one was in the bag for quite a few weeks now. This cup felt like our only bit of crack for the rest of the season, and now that's been taken away.
Yeah, and like, there was that good win against Finn Harps, and like, you always won with the cup, you won the good draw in the cup, and I mean disrespectfully to everyone else in the cup, especially some of the non-league teams, but Derry City was possibly one of the worst draws they could have gotten outside Shelburne. There's heavy investment in that squad, and you look at the likes of Adam O'Reilly, who had offers from various top clubs from Scotland and England. They brought in Patrick Hooban last year from Derry City, or from Dundalk. They have Michael Duffy, his serial winner in Irish football. Like, there's some huge names in that Derry City team, and Cork City troubled them last night. And like, look, there's also a scenario then where you look at, oh, imagine they had the likes of, let's say, Ballyfermot or Wilton United, but no disrespect meant to them, but there was a huge gap between intermediate and senior football, that you say, oh, then City are in the quarterfinal of a cup, and that then gives a different story going into the running for the season, because the excitement carries from the league into the cup and vice versa. But look, they got knocked out by one of the toughest teams in the competition. But again, if you're going to win a cup, you have to beat the best.
Yeah.
But look, the most important thing with City is promotion this season. That's it.
Where do you think the winning and losing of the Derry game was last night?
I just think Derry had that little bit more quality, like, and I mean that per player and all over the pitch, and they're more used to this big game environment. Like, they're locked in a title race at the moment with Shelburne. That's, everyone knows that's what they're used to, growing out these wins. Where City, that was a step up for City, where this year City are the hunted, whereas last night they were the hunter. They had to score, they had to grind it out, whereas they're used to doing that. They're used to getting the result. And like, you saw, like, there was a few times last night where City were flicking the ball, like, from equalising. Like, there was that one towards the shed end where the ball was put across the face of goal and Sean Maguire just missed it. They had that ball taken off the line in the first half, which shows they're not too far away from competing against these sides, which bodes quite well. But again, the game was just lost because Derry had that little bit more quality, because they're used to playing in the Premier Division with the pace of coming up week in, week out against the likes of Derry City, Galway United, those top teams, Shelburne, to name another one.
Yeah, absolutely. The new signings, of course, Keating and Maguire. Well, look, first of all, how great is it to have both of them back in a City jersey?
Oh, it's unbelievable. And they're two fan favourites. Like, you, Sean Maguire, who won City, pretty much single-handedly won City the league back in 2017 with his goals. And he scored the famous winner in the 2016 Cup final. And then you've Rory Keating. And like, the two of them, they kind of represent two different eras for Cork City. Like, Maguire was the name of the 2010s, in the same way of when you say the 2000s, you have the likes of Georgie Callan, John O'Flynn, Kevin Doyle. Like Maguire is a striker of the 2010s alongside Marco Sullivan, and having the two of them on the pitch is just surreal as a Cork person who goes to Turner's Cross, and you've Keating, who is a striker of the 2020s, and like, the club was in a mess 4 years ago. People know what was going on behind the scenes, how close the club were to going to the wall at one stage at the start of 2020, and all that was going on. And then you had Keating come in, and he got it over the line, promotion, and that was a huge emotional win for the club back in 2022 when they finally got promotion to the League of Ireland Premier Division. Because again, one season in the First Division is too long for a club the size of Cork City. So seeing the two of them on the pitch was just special. It's the stuff you'd want as a player. Like, imagine having the likes of John, like, telling someone in 2005 you'd have John Caulfield when he was in the prime of his career, with coming up with John O'Flynn beside him. It was things like that and it's as fantastic as it's from a supporter point of view.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't look out of place in the pitch either for, well, I know Keating, to be fair, has been playing games, but Maguire hasn't really. So he looked fairly, he was getting up to speed fairly quickly in that City squad.
Yeah, and like you could tell he was a cut above the rest last night. The way he was being, the way he was able to weave through, cut inside, find space, and get balls into the box. But it'll take some time to see Maguire when we get to see the full extent of his abilities. Because again, he is a match. He doesn't have that match sharpness that you get. So it'll take a couple of weeks. But again, the goal is next season and in the Premier Division. The club didn't bring in Sean McGuire to help him get the first division over the line. They brought him in for next year in the Premier Division for his goals. And the same at Rory Keating. So I think the next stage for McGuire is to develop that partnership with Keating, where they can just sense each other on the pitch, where they know where the other one is, because that's the most important thing about having two strikers with that ability, is that they can play with each other as opposed to alongside each other.
Yeah, who do you think, or what position do we think we need in that team? I mean, it didn't really look like we had much creatively from midfield to the boys up top. So I'd probably be looking at some sort of attacking midfielder there.
Yeah, like that could be the next stage of, could you get that number 10 to play behind them to put balls into the box? Because it's a hard question to answer, because if you get the two of them playing alongside each other up top, who has what role, who runs through the middle, who goes out wide? Because like it was fairly common knowledge that Sean Maguire didn't play his best football back at Dundalk in 2015. He was put out in the wing by Stephen Kenny. He didn't like it and his goals dried up, whereas John Caulfield played him through the centre and he had Carl Shepherd and Stephen Dooley playing alongside him, and that suited his abilities. So it's, you know, can you find a system that gets the boat out of Keating and gets the boat out of Maguire? That's the thing, and maybe number 10 is the key to unlock that. Barry Coffey has that skill set, but again, Barry Coffey was one of those players last year who didn't reach the same highs as the first division. Sean Murray, could he perform that role? Will Carlos Sullivan be here next season to be that person? So it's, these are the questions, but they're good questions to have, because it shows you have the right pieces to build for next year. Yet you don't need to do a massive clear out over the winter and bring in a whole new squad.
What have you thought about the season as a whole so far? I mean, the football hasn't been great, but ultimately we've been getting the job done.
It's just about getting back up. Like a club the size of Cork City, I know I've said this before, shouldn't be in the first division, it should be in the Premier Division. Ireland's second city should be in the Premier Division in the top table of Irish football. But the goal for the season was to go down. But I always think that you can get relegated, but you can use relegation in a positive way. If you look at the likes of Shelburne got promoted in 2019, they went up in 2020 and they went straight back down. And then they realised, okay, they can't go up with the same squad. They got themselves and they got to the cup final, then they qualified for Europe, now they're top of the league. Mm-hmm. So they use it as a kind of a way to kind of reset themselves. Even Shamrock Rovers back in 2005, when they were relegated, when they lost that playoff to, I think it was Dublin City, they use it as a period for examinership to restructure the whole club. Not saying City need to do that, but you can use these periods proactively. And if City stayed up last season, they could have just put in a situation this year where they could be clinging on with their fingertips to just stay up, which isn't what they want. They know now that they needed to build, and you can see they're now working towards a long-term goal, which is the most important thing, and that's what they've done this year. You've had young players come through from the academy playing first-team football. They got a starting goalkeeper as opposed to bringing someone on loan. They've signed players now to long-term deals like Sean Murray, Sean Maguire and Rory Keating. They'll be here towards the end of next season, which is fantastic. So they're building and they're taking those proactive steps, which is the most important thing for the season of getting promoted with a long-term plan.
Yeah, and absolutely. What have you made of Tim Clancy? He seemed fairly quiet all year, and now when Caulfield came for him, he certainly swung back.
Yeah, and it's quite nice, because like in Cork we like a manager to really buy into everything about the club. Like if you look at all the most popular figures down through Cork football history, Pat Dolan, he created the whole Rebel Army. You had Damien Richardson, he won the club the league in 2005 and won them the cup in 2007. They're people who really bought into the culture of the club. And what you want is someone who will defend everything to do with Cork City, that if someone brings up inside an argument who's the greatest ever League of Ireland team, that you have to mention Cork City in 2017 or the Cork City team in 2005. And Tim Clancy coming out fighting against John Caulfield, who was a Cork City legend in his own right, mm-hmm. It just shows he buys into that culture. And like, look, he's done everything right this season. Like, he's got the club promoted, he's bringing through young players, and he's stood over a project that's brought back in Keating, that's brought back in Maguire, that's kept Murray long term, which is the most important thing, because he sees it as a long term thing, which is the most important thing.
100%.
So I don't think he has put a foot wrong this year.
Yeah, very good. And I mean, hopefully we'll get that league sewn up sooner rather than later. It's certainly looking good for City now at the moment.
Yeah, only a few more wins. Like, mathematically, I don't have the figures in front of me, but like, it's, look, just get promoted. Don't drag it out, because even towards the end of 2017, when they won the Premier Division, there was that few weeks of they could have won if they beat Dundalk. They could have won it with a point if they'd beaten Limerick up in the Market Fields. They could have won it if they'd beaten Bowes up in Dalymount Park. We're kind of dragged on for a few weeks. Just get it won. And then use the last few weeks of the season then to bring through some of the under-20s that have been kind of on the bench for the majority of the season, to give them first-team experience to try and to see who's capable and who's ready then to play the first senior football for next year, because teams then will hopefully want to take points off you because they need to get a playoff spot, like the likes of Cole Rambers and all of them.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And speaking of that, Cork City underage structure, how great is it to see Jake O'Brien on the bench today for Everton, but at least he's in the Premier League, and Marco Manni, of course, then on the bench for Brighton. I'm sure Jake will get plenty of minutes in this Everton team throughout the year.
It's incredible. Like, you have, if you cast your net wide, you have David Harrington playing for Fleetwood, you have Jake O'Brien on the bench at Everton, you have Marco Manni, you have Franco Uma, Jade Numa just went off to sign for Benfica, you have a Newcastle Cottle Heffernan who had made two appearances for the club in pre-season. He played in Japan and he played one other pre-season game. Mm-hmm. You have over in Germany, you have Matthew Moore, who's at Hoffenheim, and you've all these guys came through the Cork City Academy, which is fantastic. And look, it's fantastic for them at a personal level and their coaches who work with them at the likes of College Corinthians and Carrigaline United, but also for anyone in the Cork City Academy, that they know that there is a pathway there at the first team football and to go across the water, because again, you need that culture, because you'll get inspired by the person sitting next to you, they'll get inspired by them, what they've done, and it creates that culture. And it's a testament to the work that's done by Liam Carney in his role as head of academy.
Yeah, absolutely. Dylan, I know you were with us a few months back about your book, The Ajax Way. How's everything going on that front?
Yeah, good. Yeah, no, I'm kind of putting pen to paper now to get the Irish football book done. So that's kind of like my next goal now. But the Ajax book is going quite well. Piece number 2 in the bestseller list, and it's been in the top 50 of the European footballer bestseller list for the last 4 months, which is fantastic for a book written by a guy from Turner's Cross whose whole world is covering Cork City Women and Cove Ramblers for The Echo and The Examiner and Cork City occasionally in Waterford. So no, it's going fantastic, and it's quite funny actually, because the book gets more and more relevant with every week. Like, you have Manchester United just signed Mazraoui and Matthijs de Ligt, who both played for Ajax. I think they have 7 first team players now who played for Ajax. So as the weeks go by, it's a bit like, oh, do you know they started Ajax? I wrote a book about that. So that's that's not what I just say in every pub and every pub conversation.
It's a handy one for you, all right. And where can people buy that book again?
Yeah, so it's available in Waterstones, Dubray, Easton's, Amazon, wherever books are sold.
Very good. I'm very interested in hearing about that Irish football book, but hopefully I'm hearing about it more in a few weeks or months' time. Dylan O'Connell, football writer, thanks so much for speaking to us. And the ref's whistle has gone for half-time here on the Big Red Bench. Come back to us in the second half. We'll have plenty of GAA chats around the club football championship, as well as some swimming chat with Dolphin Swimming Club. Do not go anywhere.
The Big Red Bench.
Cork, good times.
Red FM.
Welcome back to the Big Red Bench here in Cork School Times. Red FM, Dan Casey here with you for the next half hour. A pleasure as always. And it was certainly a pleasure to catch up with fan favourite Joe McCarthy today to talk about the Cork Football Club Championship. Enjoy. We're delighted to be joined once more here on the Big Red Bench by our very own Joe McCarthy. Well, Joe, you're out and about for us today. We'll get into that one a little later on. But you were out and about for us last night as well, the hardest working man in show business at the moment, at Castlehaven versus St. Michael's. What did you make of that affair?
Yeah, Dan, a big win for Castlehaven, 218 to 5 points. It's every bit as convincing as the final score suggests. It was the Castlehaven, of course, for the defending Premier Senior Football County Champions and Munster Champions. Having overcome Clonakilty, they travelled to Clonakilty last night, beat St. Michael's very, very well. Very, very good performance from start to finish. 11 different scorers, which I think is good news all round for Seanie Cathalan, who was quite pleased with that as well. Brian Hurley, the Cork senior, weighing in with 5 points. But it was Jack Callan who caught the eye. He got 1-2 and got a late goal to cap off a very impressive performance. And Micheál Maguire's goal midway through the second half pretty much ended this game long before the final whistle. For Castlehaven, they have 4 points. They head into their final game against Carbery Rangers in early September, knowing that if they avoid defeat, then they're guaranteed to go through the knockout phase. For St Michael's, look, they beat Carbery Rangers in their opening group game, which was a huge result for them to win by goal. Last night, they just had too many absentees to make any go of it, really, to be quite honest with you. They were disappointing, but look, they were missing so many regular players. It was always going to be an uphill challenge. Without their full strength team, it was always going to be a tough game for them. They did put in an effort, they put in a shift defensively, they had a good shape, but they just, you know, the juggernaut that is Castlehaven, and as we've seen down through the years, very, very few clubs are able to withstand the constant pressure that they're able to apply. And look, an evening to forget for St Michael's, but the good news for them is they go into their final game with Clonakilty in a month's time, knowing that they're still in with a show should they defeat Clonakilty. And let's not forget, we covered on the Big Red Bench this year's County Division 2 League final between the two clubs that went to extra time, and Michael's are very unlucky not to edge that one. Clonakilty eventually deservedly getting over the line. That's going to be a very tight game in their final group outing. They may or may not have a lot of those missing guys back. Tyke Deasy would be a big plus for them if they can get him back, and if he's there, that should be a very, very good game. So disappointment for St Michael's, but not out of it, because they've already beaten Kirby Rangers. You know, same as always with Castlehaven, moving along very, very nicely, 2 wins out of 2, and on one foot in the knockout phase.
Yeah, you spoke to Seanie after. What was his general consensus on the game?
Happy to score 2 goals. I mean, Castlehaven kicked 118 against Clonakilty. They kicked 218 though last night, so they're averaging very, very high scores. As I mentioned earlier, like, having 11 different scorers on the night is a very important thing for them. I think from Seanie's point of view, they did lose Michael Hurley early on. After about 23 minutes, he got injured and had to come off. I don't think it's a serious injury, but, you know, he's an experienced player. The good news for him was that, or for Seanie, was that he was able to call ashore, you know, Mark Collins and Brian Hurley before the 50, you know, with a quarter of the game still to go. And, like, you know, that's what he wants to do. He wants to keep his key players fresh. All the regulars that you would expect to shine did so. You know, Damien Callahan was all over the pitch. Mark Collins was excellent to wing back. And, of course, Brian Hurley, you know, 5 points, contributing on and off the ball as always. But it's the younger guys, I suppose. Jack Callahan, Micheál Maguire that we mentioned there. Their guys, Colin Maguire as well, had a really good game. And Robbie Minahan, Andrew Welton midfield. That's a very solid midfield base that they've got. Look, there's going to be tougher tests ahead for Castlehaven, but you can only beat what's put in front of you this time of the year, and they're doing that, and doing that very, very impressively. They will not have it easy against Carbery Rangers in that final group match, and a lot depends on tomorrow's big derby between Clonakilty and Carbery Rangers, which we'll be covering for the Big Red Bench. But right now, Castlehaven up there with the favourites, and one of the favourites definitely, and to retain their title.
Nemo also squared off against Airog last night.
Yeah, good performance from them as well, like kicking 16 points, defeating Airog, 16-2-6, and it was that first half display when they put in, they led 12-1-2 at the break. And, you know, when it comes to Nemo again, much like Castlehaven, going along, getting the job done very, very nicely indeed. They had a good spread of scorers as well. Paul Kerrigan, a guy we spoke to many times here on the Big Red Bench, still going strong, weighing in with 3 points. Mark Cronin, another player as well, Cork player with 2 points. And look, for Airog, obviously disappointment, but they were missing Daniel Goulding and some important players there as well. And from their point of view, that's their second loss in a row now. Would be Noosa Stone and Ballincollig are the other teams in that particular group. They're playing today, so the outcome of that would be interesting, and will dictate, you know, how important that final game for Airog is. But irrespective of that result today, Airog now know that they just have to beat Ballincollig in the last game to possibly avoid dropping into a relegation playoff, which is something I wouldn't have necessarily thought at the start of the year. But look, that's where they are, and that's the difference with this championship now, Dan. You know, 2 losses on the bounce, and all of a sudden you're looking for your survival. But I think from their own point of view, they kicked 2-6, which I think is encouraging against a well-oiled machine. You know, they still have players of really, really quality players. They have the Cork goalkeeper, Chris Kelly, they have Colm O'Callaghan, and they do have, you know, it hasn't always been the Daniel Goulding show, but they're going to have to seriously improve against Ballincollig in that final game to avoid a relegation battle. But as it stands, Nemo doing what Nemo always do, just like Castlehaven, winning. Maybe not necessarily in top gear, but when you're kicking 16 points, you have 4 points out of 4, you are definitely amongst the contenders once again this year.
And it's amazing the longevity that Daniel Goulding has had. I didn't even realise he was still playing football, Jordan, to be totally honest with you.
Yeah. Well, we saw him in the first game against Noosestown, actually. That was in Clidove. When he togged out for him that night as well, and he was, you know, he was very, very prominent, certainly a player that still has a lot of skills. Obviously the speed isn't what it used to be, but he's a very, very important player because he takes careful marking and he makes very intelligent runs off the ball, and I think that suits the way Aroge like to play as well. Not being there last night, you know, was obviously disappointing for Aroge that they didn't have him, but he just, you know, he came on in the second half late, and wasn't able to start. But look, a player of his ilk and a player of his calibre, it's that final game against Ballincollig now that they'll need to lean on him, definitely. But look, Aroge have got some good players. They're not up in the Premier Senior for nothing, but they just haven't, you know, the way we talk again about the Championship and the way the Championship works out. You were in a group with Nemo Rangers, and I think losing that opening game to Noosestown for Aroge was a big setback. Noosestown are the Senior A champions from last year. So look, cliche alert, but there's just no easy games at the top grade anymore, and you've got to be honest, you know, from the off if you want to make an impact. And, you know, for Aroge, they're not a bad team at all, but two losses out of two means, as I said, you know, a fully fit Daniel Goulding will be important for them. They're only featured late on against Nemo last night, but they'll need him for the full match, definitely against Ballincollig, if they're to have any chance of picking up 2 points and avoiding a potential relegation playoff.
Yeah, I was looking at Daniel Gooney, 38 years of age, and he's still doing it 14 years on since the All-Ireland win in 2010. Someone who might be in trouble here, Douglas, very low scoring affair against Valley Rovers, 7 points Douglas, 8 points Valley Rovers, and Douglas now in the big trouble jar.
They are, and now the news I have for you, Dan, is that today there's been a big shock in that particular group because Mallow have beaten St. Finbar's, and that victory, if my calculations are correct, I'm open to correction on this, Mallow pulling off a big shock, beating the Bars 2-12 to 2-10 earlier this afternoon in Granagh. And what that means is that group is now wide, wide open. But what it also means, I think, and a couple of people have been on the Twitter box talking about that, it looks like that game may well knock has removed Douglas from the knockout stages, so they can't make the knockout stages. I'm open to correction on that, so apologies if I'm incorrect, or if I'm incorrect, but I think a few people have seen on Twitter have already come up with that. That's a severe blow for Douglas. It's one thing to lose two games, but not to have any chance now of reaching the knockout stages, an even bigger one. But for Mallow, what a victory. What a victory over the Bears. That gives Mallow 3 points. It puts Valley Rovers on 3 points and the Bears on 2 points heading into the final round of matches. Douglas still pointless, but this game, from reading the match reports, Dan, not one for the purists. Mm-hmm. Another cliche alert, which means it was pretty low scoring. It was tight, but I saw Valley Rovers last year in their final group match against Carbery Rangers. We covered that for the Big Red Bench. They absolutely had to win it to avoid going into a relegation battle, and they played well and they beat Carbery Rangers. And against a team like Douglas, I suppose the interesting thing is Paul Holland was on the bench. Dennis Coyley is the man who's taken over Valley Rovers this year, and I know Dennis well from his time in the Cork ladies football underage scenes and with Valley Rovers ladies football. He's really regenerated that club over the last couple of years. He's a very, very astute manager and a very, very good coach. And, you know, if you're going to take on Douglas, it's going to be low scoring. Well, if you can restrict them to 7 points, which is what they did, and four of those were frees, so Douglas only scored three from open play. You know, I mean, that and Sean Powder's in the team, you know, that's an excellent return from Valley Rovers. They've always been a tough team to beat, Dan, Valley Rovers, but they've lost out a lot of tight games down through the years. Not so last night, edging it by a point, but that other result, Mallow beating the Bears really opens up that group, but it spells a lot of trouble for Douglas.
Where are you now today at the moment?
I am in beautiful Ballincarriga, which is in the depths of West Cork, and I'm here today for a very important match in the grade below, two grades below the Premier Senior, and that is in the Premier Intermediate grade, and it's Ahabulloch who are taking on Island Rovers. Now, Ahabulloch won their opening match, Island Rovers lost theirs, so a win today for Ahabulloch, who've only just were county champions in the grade below last year. This is their first year up Premier Intermediate, and they've already picked up a victory. If they're to pick up another over Ahada, if they pick up another victory here today, and depending on how the Ivleary Ahada match goes this afternoon, they could well qualify for the knockout stages before their final group match, which is a fantastic return for them under Ray Keane, a man a lot of people know well from his time at St Finbar's, who's in charge of them now. Ireland Rovers from West Cork are in a lot of bother. They've had two relegations in the last 3 years, Dan. A proud club who were up senior for many, many years, and some fantastic players down through the years have fielded a lot of Cork players as well. But emigration, I was reading about them this week in the Southern Star newspaper, the regional newspaper in West Cork, and they've been absolutely decimated by immigration. They could field a team, according to one of their selectors, of players out in Australia at the moment. Wow. That just tells you how many players they've lost. It's the same for a lot of clubs. It's not just Ireland Rovers, to be fair, but for this particular club, Baltimore Rath, very rural area down along the coast in West Cork, it has been devastating. Two relegations in 3 years. Were they to lose today, they'd be heading into their final game where they had a needing a victory to avoid dropping into a relegation playoff. Not ideal. Ahabulag are the form team. They've been going well. They won last year's county in the grade below, as I said, but you just never know. Should Ireland Rovers win this one, it might turn their fortunes around. So we're looking forward to it, because it should be a very entertaining game here in Granada. Throne is at 5 o'clock, and throughout the afternoon and evening I'll have live updates, and I'll also have updates on the other games going on. So if you stick to the old Twitter box and the X account on Big Red Bench, we'll have as many updates as we can get for you from 5 o'clock onwards.
Perfect stuff. And I mean, it's been a week now. Have you had time to reflect on the Cork Camogie wins in the senior and intermediate?
I tell you what I've been doing, Dan. I've been following with great interest the Cork Camogie players' Instagram accounts, because my God, do they know how to celebrate winning an All-Ireland Camogie title. Many of them are finished at this stage after 4 or 5 days on the go. I say on the go, in and out of bars and celebrating, as they absolutely should do. Some of them are above an electric picnic at the moment. I don't know how some of them are still standing, let alone talking. Coherent. They've had some 5 days of it, but they've earned it. It is a magnificent achievement to win back-to-back All-Irelands. I don't care what grade it is. Senior Camogie, there are a few teams at the top end, the Galways, the Tips, the Waterfords, formerly the Kilkennys, and now the Corks, that when you get to that stage, it doesn't matter what you've won before or how tight or tough it is, you've got to be a really good team to win it. Congrats to Germany once again, to Liam Cronin and the backroom team, because they put in a fabulous effort to build on what Matthew Toomey had done, who had built on what Paddy Murray did. And four consecutive All-Ireland final appearances in Camogie in a row, Dan, is an achievement in itself. But to win back-to-back, and we've already started talking and writing about it, but next year, when you look at the landscape, if the majority of this panel comes back, and that's what I'm hearing, they're all coming back, I haven't heard of anybody that's going to be stepping away, why not go for the three in a row? But it's been fantastic to follow them. It's been a fantastic journey, not just this year, but over the last 4 years, covering them for the Big Red Bench. I've gotten to know a lot of the players, and I'm not going to mention any names, but if you go on some of the Instagram accounts of the Cork senior Camogie players, you'll see how well they've been enjoying themselves over the last week, including taking the O'Duffy Cup down the River Lee, Hannah Looney organising and instigating all of that. So the difference this year, Dan, was that they were forced to row themselves. Last year, they got rowed down, but this year they didn't realise they had to row themselves. And thankfully, everybody in the panel has been accounted for after that escapade.
Brilliant stuff. John McCarthy, well, look, best luck at the match. Enjoy it. We'll have to leave you here, but really appreciate it. Well, in the aforementioned Ahabulag Island Rovers match, it finished 1-10 to 7 points in Ahabulag's favour. And here is John McCarthy with the match report.
McCarthy Insurance Cork GAA Premier Intermediate Football Championship Group 1 result, Ahabulag 1-10, Ireland Rovers 7 points. Ahabulag's acclimatisation to life in the McCarthy Insurance Group Premier IFC continues unabated following victory over Ireland Rovers on Saturday afternoon in Ballinacarriga. The 2023 Intermediate A Football Champions promotion to a higher grade has seen the Muskrae club quickly adapt, overcoming Ada and now Ireland Rovers. Momentum gained from last year's County Championship success plus Ive Cleary's win over Ada earlier in the day means Ahabulag are true to the Premier Intermediate knockout stage with a game to spare. Evan O'Sullivan palmed to the net, and that was the crucial goal in the first half that helped Ahabulag overcome their opponents 1-10 to 0-7. As for Ireland Rovers, they now face a must-win game against Ahada in the final round of Group 1 matches in an effort to avoid a possible relegation playoff. So the final score here from Ballinacarriga, Ahabulag 1-10, Ireland Rovers 7 points in the McCarthy Insurance Group Cork GAA Premier Intermediate Football Championship Group 1. For the Big Red Bench, I'm Jerry McCarthy.
And Jerry caught up with Ahabulag manager Ray Keane after the match.
Congratulations, Ray. Good win, 1-10 to 0-6. Your second consecutive win in the group, and with Ive Cleary winning this morning, means you're into the knockout stages, and now you have a chance to play to win out the group itself.
Yeah, thanks, Jerry. Look, very simple. We came in here, unknown quantity, simple as that from our point of view. So it was first and foremost get them going and try and keep them in the grid, which we did against Ahada. And today then was all about just getting over the line, as championship football is doesn't matter really how you do it once you get there, and we're still going. And reality is, no, they'll focus on hurling for the next 3 weeks, give or take. We probably won't see them realistically because that's the way we've agreed it. So we'll go up on Eve Lair and we'll just enjoy the game and we'll see where we go. Simple as that.
Yeah, it was a stop-start game. That goal proved important, but you left a few goal chances behind you. But look, from a manager's point of view, if you're creating the chances, I suppose that's the important thing.
Yeah, I'd hate to see what the stats man would be telling me now in a while. But but look, the worry you have in situations like that is the longer the games go on and it's still narrow to 2, 3, 4, 5 points, anything can happen. But to be fair, I thought we showed a lot of maturity there. A few high balls went in. They got the overlap once or twice, but we stopped them up and we dug it out really, and we battled hard, which is great to see.
You've come in to a club that's won a county championship, that's now won 2 games on the bounce. There's plenty of momentum and there seems to be a good spirit around the place.
Yeah, to be fair to them, I couldn't fault any of them. They're a great great bunch of lads, very together, great community too, to be fair to them. And from the minute myself and Inda came in, I would have nothing bad to say about the club or the place or anything like that. You know, anything that's ever been wanted or anything like that, they're very forthcoming, and it's all about just everyone coming together and going forward, and that's all they want.
Excellent stuff. Best luck in the next
game. Thanks very much, Ger.
And last night he got up with Mark Collins of Castleavon after their win.
Mark Collins, job done, second win, 2 out of 2. You're where Castleavon want to be in terms of the championship, ahead of another West Cork derby with Carby Rangers. But tonight's performance, really complete from start to finish.
Yeah, I suppose we'd be very happy with definitely the first 20 minutes anyway, Ger. You know, we targeted a good start. We knew we played Michaels a couple times over the last couple of years. They'd given us one right hammering in the league match, I think 2 years ago. So, you know, we knew we wanted to get on top early. And it was something we targeted, and we'd be very happy at the start. Then I suppose at half time we targeted the first 10 minutes after half time again, and we'd be a small bit disappointed with that, a little bit sloppy. I think we got a good goal then and probably settled us, and we saw it out from there.
Importantly for Castleavon, I'm speaking to Seán Callan, your manager, building depth is vital, because when it gets to the latter stages of the championship you need guys coming off the bench who can change things. It looks like you're heading the right direction there.
Well, what I'm delighted with tonight is the lads who maybe didn't see much game time last year. You know, starting there you had Jamie Walsh and Robbie Minahan, who I thought, to be fair to them, were both absolutely excellent. And then off the bench, like you would, Michal Maguire getting a nice bit of game time, and you know, it did very well as well. And like everyone, I think training has really picked up over the last couple of weeks, and lads are pushing hard to be on that 15.
And just funny, from your own perspective, playing club football exclusively now, no inter-county worries on you, you seem to be moving well.
Yeah, and like to be fair, like the setup is unbelievably professional, and it's very enjoyable at the moment. You know, I think I think lads, as I said, are pushing each other, and it's very enjoyable being involved at the moment.
Excellent. Best luck. Thanks, Dale.
Thanks very much, Ger.
Cheers, Mark.
Ger also got up with Castleavon manager Seán Callan.
Congratulations, Seán Callan. That's a convincing victory and a convincing performance. How happy are you with the overall display of your team tonight?
Look, I wish you no complaints with a performance like that. We were happy with it. I suppose Michaels probably would be very disappointed with their performance. We thought they'd bring a bit more, but I'd say just on the night, I'd say we had such a good start, and I'd say they struggled to get a bit of momentum up then after a while.
2 goals, always good to score a goal. Just scored one the first game against Clan, 2 tonight. When things get a little tighter later on, the championship, that's a good sign for you?
Oh, 100%. Look, Jesus, goals wins games, as they say, and you know, it's nice that you tip them away, but look, if the opportunity arises, we'd always encourage our fellas to go for it, but if the opportunity arises only, do you know?
Bit of a gap to the next game, another West Cork derby against a team you know well in Carby Rangers, but the mindset of your players now, you'll want to finish with maximum points, and the opportunity with a big, you know, goal or scoring advantage which you have now, possibly a semi-final spot.
I kind of said it from the start of the year, we'll take it game by game, and we won't be looking any further past Ross Carberry the next day. We've 4 weeks built into it now, so look, we know what we're going to get from Ross. They're a very competitive side. We played them here in the first round last year and very lucky to come away with a draw. They should have beaten us on the night, so we know we'll get nothing easy against them.
Your first year in, 2 wins out of 2 in the championship. I know it's not easy boots to fill after James McCarthy, but from a personal point of view, you must be delighted with the way the players have responded.
Oh yeah, 100%. Look, there's a great bunch of lads there. Look, they're an easy gang to manage, in all fairness. They're big into it, and look, they're great trainers, and so you can't ask any more.
And just finally, you are where you want to be. 2 wins out of 2, an opportunity possibly, as we said, maybe go a step further next day, depending on the result, into a semi-final. But as far as Castleavon are concerned, concerned. A couple of injuries, they'll be cleared up hopefully by the time it comes around.
Yeah, sure, look, hopefully it's you know, it's trying to mindful and mind load and stuff as well, because look, we were kind of it was a bit difficult this year as well with the fact that we ran so late into last year, we ran into January really, and just trying to manage fellas, and you could see that now in the last couple of weeks we're picking up a few niggles and stuff, and look, there will be more niggles and stuff come in the next couple of weeks, months, and look, it's just managing, but we're hoping, trying to build a squad. Look, there was fellas came on there tonight, Jamie Walsh did a super job, and fellas that kind of didn't really feature for us last year as much, Robbie Minahan, Jamie Driscoll, they were outstanding tonight, like, so this is all about building depth and giving them the confidence. If someone is struggling with injuries, we can just, you know, they can fill in for that role.
Excellent stuff. Well done, Johnny.
Super, thanks.
Some a little bit different now, and Dolphins Swimming Club have launched ambitious plans to build a 50 metre swimming pool in Cork. Dolphin have already purchased the pool, while Cork County Council say they can use 5 acres in Brook Lodge in Glanmire. Now the club just need the money to help make it happen. Rory has been speaking to Dolphins Mick McCormack.
Delighted now to be joined by Dolphins Mick McCormack to talk about plans for a 50 metre pool in Cork, overdue plans for a 50 metre pool in Cork, and the fundraising efforts that they are undergoing in order to make it happen. Mick, thanks for joining us on the Big Red Bench again, buddy. It's good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you again, Rory.
Come here, tell us first off, right, how did you come across the 50 metre pool and how did it end up in Cork?
Well, cut a long story short, we were at the Samaritan Awards in 2022, and the Commonwealth Games had taken place in Birmingham that summer, and they had a pop-up pool that they were using for their warm-up and cool-down facility. And it was a modular structure, so it was erected similar to the way that you see the pool erected for the Paris Olympics. Yeah. Or for the US Olympic trials, and dismantled within a 6 week window. Really, it was in use for about 2 weeks, and it was going into storage. Birmingham Council didn't want to pay for the storage long term, so they put it out to a few different organisations, and Summerlin were one of those organisations. They approached us at the Summerlin Awards. We just won the Club of the Year, and they said, like, you know, guys, there's a great opportunity here for Cork swimming. We have a pool at a knockdown price. Would you like to buy it? So we gathered a few, potentially interested parties in Cork. And initially, like, it was very well received. But I suppose when you have so many different groups coming together to try and find an agreement is difficult. And it just didn't work out that way. But myself and Giuseppe Wieland, who's the chairman of the club of us, we kind of sat down and said, like, you know, we can't leave an opportunity like this go. And we met a few times with different partners, the guys who actually built the pool, and with some Ireland, etc., Birmingham Council, and we decided we were going to buy the pool ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we've been in different talks and discussions for the last year and a bit, almost 2 years now, around getting different types of funding, grant aid access, and ultimately finding a site. And the Cork County Council have been fantastic to us. They have given us a leasehold down in a site there in Brook Lodge somewhere. So we're just waiting now to what we need to do now, you see, is get planning permission and all these other little steps, and it is a step-by-step process to get this over the line. So, like, with this, it's not about, okay, here's what we want to do, we're going to have this done in X amount of time. We said, like, the only way we can do this, because we're trying to fundraise and everything ourselves, is do it step by step by step. So our step right now is to get the planning permission nailed down. Mm. And then we move on to the next step, we'll sign the leasehold agreement next month, hopefully, and step by step by step. So,
yeah, because there's a massive lack of 50 metre swimming pools in the country, Mick.
Oh, huge. I mean, up in Northern Ireland, there's 350 metre pools, one that everybody knows about, a second one that's been built in the last 2 years, and there is a third one in, I think it's in County Derry, I think in Mahoralyn. There's two in Dublin, UCD and the National Aquatic Centre, and then there's one in Limerick. But, like, right now, Cork has the highest percentage of national squad swimmers. And we don't have a 50 metre pool to train in. It's a bit ludicrous, really. Like, all of our guys who train with the national squads will have to travel to Limerick every week because they don't have adequate facilities here. It's ludicrous. I mean, I've got guys on the national squad who are all in school. They have to leave home at 4 o'clock in the morning, go and train in Limerick for 2 hours. They may have a gym session up there. They might not be back in school until 10:30 in the morning. Whereas they could, if we had this facility here, that would, A, we could negate that from happening, and B, we could potentially have double, if not triple, the amount of national squad athletes and even higher, like, you know, representing Ireland on the world stage at the next Olympics in LA or in Brisbane 4 years later. The sky's the limit. We've such a deep pool of potential here in this city that's been completely untapped.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, the country's gone kind of, it's gone Olympics mad, but like the medals won by Daniel and by Mona show you that, like, with hard work you can get to the Olympics. And like, for you saying like kids are having to travel to Limerick at 4 a.m, that's not for everyone, and kids are going to fall away from the sport as a result, Mick.
Well, absolutely. I mean, these guys have been in the sport for a few years, so they've developed to the stage that they've gotten to that level. And then they need that extra jump. But that extra jump means sitting in a 3-hour round trip to another county. I mean, and I've said this to the kids, and they feel it themselves. My own daughter did it for the bones of nearly 2 years as well, 4 days a week up in Limerick, when she was younger. What kind of physical effect is it having on them, and what kind of physical benefit are they getting by going to Limerick, training for 2 hours, but having to sit in a car for 3 hours, 2-3 times a week? It's a bit mad, you know. So you're kind of negating the effects anyway. And I don't want to say that you're negating the effects of having to go and train, because the facility up there is fantastic, and the access to training with similar level athletes is essential as well if you're to get to that level. But like, I mean, if you mentioned the likes of Daniel Whiffen and stuff there, like, you know, I mean, they had much easier access to better training facilities when they were coming through. And I've known Daniel for a long, long time in Irish swimming. And, you know, he didn't just come out of nowhere. I mean, he developed at the right pace, but at a very high level as well. He had really good coaching structures around him. But he did have access to either in his old club in Lisburn, an 8-lane, 25-metre pool, which was proper wider lanes, 2.2-metre wide lanes, or he had access to the 50-metre pool in Bangor a few times a week as well. And similar with all the guys from Dublin and whatever. But like, we just don't have that down here. And we can get athletes to a certain level at a certain age, but like, how do we get them to transition from junior to the senior international stage without those kind of facilities on their doorstep, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I know how frustrating it is, because I'm in athletics myself, and I know how frustrating it is to have a lack of facilities in Cork as well. And it's something that, like, it needs to be looked at, but it just seems to be something that's always kind of almost ignored, I suppose, by the government and kind of kicked down the road, which is a shame, because when you look at the Olympics and the success that we've had, you can imagine with proper investment the success that Ireland could have in the years to come.
Oh, 100%. Like, and that's the same with any country that's been successful. I mean, you look just across the water at GB, and when they didn't have a particularly successful Olympics in Beijing, the government and the relevant sports bodies got together and decided that they were going to pump so much money into investing in all these different sports, because London was hosting the next Olympics and they wanted to showcase what British swimming or British sports was about. And they went, and I think they won 36 gold medals at that, 35 gold medals, 36 in Rio, I think it was 35 or 36 this time again. And that's all been down to the funding and the improvement in infrastructure across multiple sports, in British terms. No, different economical situation, I know, but at the same time, we have multiple sports here after winning medals. We've got Rhys McLennigan in gymnastics. You've got the rowers, Paul Donovan, Fintan McCarthy. You've got Kelly Harrington in boxing, and there is a fantastic boxing setup up in Dublin. And I've been in Abbotstown, their performance centre, but like that needs to go to the smaller clubs as well, or all around the country. But that's another issue again. And in swimming, we've got the National Aquatic Centre. We've got different performance centres, one in Limerick, one in Bangor, and one in Dublin. But like we say, Ireland is a small place, but like it's not that small when you need to travel at certain hours in the morning or straight after school to go and train in a performance centre, you know. And we do need to have things a little bit more localised to give everyone the very best opportunity to get to those levels.
Exactly that. So you're fundraising at the moment. There's a GoFundMe up now, if you can get that on GoFundMe.com, search for Dolphin Swimming Club, and you'll find that in the Dolphin Swimming Club social media pages as well. The target's 100 grand, Mick. What does that 100 grand get you? And I'm almost afraid to ask what the overall total you need to get this project going.
Well, the 100 grand that we're looking for now is so that we can go and get final designs sorted out and get our full planning permission nailed down. So that's, and this is just one step of many. And we have laid out all of the steps on the table. We're just taking it one step at a time. So that's what the 100,000 is there for. Get planning permission done and dusted, and then move on to the next stage, which is we'll have the designs finalised from those, and moving on to the next stage then, which is kind of getting this thing off the pallets and start getting it built.
Yeah.
Right, so because it won't take that long to build either, you see, that's the thing, because it's modular. We have increased the amount of lanes, so like what we initially bought was a 6-lane pool, but what we're going for now is we've purchased the extra 4 lanes, so we'll have a much bigger facility for people. And this isn't just about the clubs or anything, like, you know, this is about getting everyone in Cork. I mean, the public will get use of this, and different clubs will get access to the pool as well. Like, it's there to hopefully benefit everybody. There's a lot of aquatic sports that no longer happen in Cork. We've no water polo happening in Cork. We'd love to see that being reintroduced to Cork, because it has a stellar history in Cork. They're like even having a look at different activities, because not everyone is into competitive swimming. So bringing in a bit of artistic swimming, life-saving, different educational opportunities. I mean, schools have very limited access to swimming at the moment. I'm a PE teacher, and even in my school, we find it extremely difficult to get 40 minutes for any year group to go and use a swimming pool. It's ludicrous. It's mad. So we just need better access for everyone. And I think this will certainly tick most of those boxes, you know.
Well, Mick, we wish you the very best of luck with it. And fingers crossed this project will be up and running as soon as possible. And I'll be doing cannonballs into the deep end at some point. But Mick, thanks for anybody.
Can I just say, like, if we could get something around, like really what we need is something, I suppose, around the corporate funding to come in, put their name over the door and say, right, let's just put our hands in our pockets here, because this is going to be an iconic project for Cork. And, you know, for someone to be associated with that, there's plenty of large multinational companies in Cork. And I think like to have an association with this new iconic facility would be fantastic.
Yeah, well said. Mick, thanks for joining us, buddy. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks a lot, Rory. Talk to you soon.
And that concludes Saturday's Big Red Bench here in Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey signing off, but do not go anywhere. Marty Guilfoyle is on the way next.
The Big Red Bench
with Bord Gáis Energy, proud sponsors of the GAA Hurling All Ireland Senior Championship.
Cork's Good Times Red FM.
Catch me, Colm O'Sullivan, getting you home weekday.